Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
Welcome to the Baptist 21 podcast. I'm Nate Aiken, and I have with me today President of the SBC, J.D. Greer, President for the foreseeable future, it seems, and to talk through the corona crisis, canceling the SBC, and just all the things that have gone along with that. So thanks for joining the podcast.
Yeah, I know. The way you said that made me feel like you're like still President of the SBC. Like I'm the FDR of like, I don't have a new deal. Let's just say that. Absolutely. This is not a plan.
You're gonna pack the cords here in a minute. Yeah. So we obviously sit down and talk the day after a historic action in the SBC. I didn't have this necessarily in our questions, but could you just talk briefly about how historic this is? I mean, how many times has this happened before?
So I'm not the Baptist historian, right, but I do think it's happened twice in World War II. Once in 43 and 45, I think.
So, yeah.
It did not happen in the early days, even though we went through several wars and even a Spanish flu that, you know, swept the... So it's a very rare type of thing. I mean, you can count on one hand with half your fingers blown off the amount of times it's happened.
My goodness, yeah. So you've already put out several things particularly about the pandemic. They've been very helpful. I'm sure you'll do more of that. And, you know, thanks for leading. But as you've been kind of leading along with, obviously, you don't make this decision by yourself, other leaders in the SBC, can you just talk to us about what went into and your thinking kind of behind canceling this year's annual meeting?
Well, I said this in the first thing I put out. It really is a tough decision because, I mean, this is an important part of who we are. I mean, you know, it is several, 10, 12, 15, they were thinking in Orlando, it could have been 15,000 people this year that come together. And it's a time of, I mean, I don't know what my favorite part of the convention is.
Right.
I know what some of my not favorite parts are, but, yeah. But you know, I love like the preaching, of course. I love hearing from some of these leaders. I love the networking and the fellowship. And I just always feel like I leave with a greater sense of clarity and also a greater sense of support. And so it's tough to have that. I mean, and also, I mean, there's important business that takes place.
Right.
I mean, we are a congregationally driven movement, which separates us from other denominations, so to speak, because in other denominations, there's a more of a hierarchy, and Southern Baptists aren't that way. And so, I mean, that's an important part of governing who we are and where we want to go. And so it made it really tough and very sobering. What I said, though, is on the other hand, it was a very easy decision because if you look at the main point of the convention meeting being we want to support local churches and we want to help, you know, give stability to the mission. Well, if that's the case, then it seems like the clearest way to accomplish both of those things would be to not meet together because, I mean, as you well know, I mean, a lot of churches right now are hurting. Churches are hurting. Communities are hurting. Orlando, to get there it's costly. It's costly for a big church. It's sometimes overwhelmingly costly for a small church. And even in the best case scenario, okay, I mean, the best one you've heard, you know, 3 weeks from now, it's like subsided and it's all, you know, even then you're dealing with a lot of people that for them to then shift their focus pretty quickly to how do I get the money to get to it just doesn't feel like the right thing. Right.
Especially when they have people who are losing jobs and then they're saying, well, I'm going to go to Orlando and do this business meeting. It just would seem to some people, obviously, like, well, okay,
right,
stick here with us and help shepherd during this season.
Yeah, it just seems like we need to take that off the table and say pastors need to be focusing on their churches. Churches need to be focusing on their communities. I'll just be honest, you know, from pastor to pastor here. When I first happened, I thought, what am I going to do throughout the week? Like, I made a long list of books to read, and I even used the words extended Sabbath.
Yeah.
Nate, I've been busier the last 2 weeks than I think I've been any of the 2 weeks leading up to this one. So this is a time where we as God's people have to step forward, and it just seemed like this was not the right.
Yeah. How long had y'all been kind of talking through this decision? Because, I mean, obviously this sort of hit, and it snowballed, and people did not know what was going on. But how long had y'all kind of the leaders been having conversations about this? And then maybe just for people who don't know the polity, how does the vote actually go down? Who has a vote as far as canceling the actual convention?
Yeah, all great questions. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think when the thought first popped into my mind. I mean, right. 3 weeks ago, none of us were thinking about this period. It hasn't been that long. It's probably about a week and a half ago as I, you know, started to hear about things being canceled in the summer. And I started to think, man, if you bring together 10, 12,000 people at the SBC, that's going to be a problem. And then, you know, some of the financial commitments that lead up to it. I mean, obviously you don't just on day one start planning for the SBC, show up and figure out what to do. But, you know, so a lot of the money that needed to be spent. So there was, I think Ronnie and I, Dr. Floyd and I talked about it for the first time a little over a week and a half ago, and just said, you know, hey, we need to put everything on the table. Neither you or I want to not do this, but you know, we need to ask what's best for the churches. Ronnie was very, very supportive in that. And we just kind of said, let's start getting some counsel. There was some thought to wait until the convention center itself canceled because they have a date. But the problem with that is by the end of this week, a lot of our, especially our seminary presidents, needed to commit money to get people there and more like vendors. And there was a lot of money that was about to change hands that couldn't be gotten back. And it just was like, if we're going to do it, now's the time to do it. Plus what I just said a minute ago with all the thought right now, you know, just like, hey, let's just free up people to be able to focus on their communities. So, the discussion probably, I don't know who started it, but I mean, Ronnie and I were, you know, discussing it together, the seminary presidents, the what they call the Great Commission Council, which is presidents of most of your entities. And, they were probably even stronger in their kind of resolute decision to cancel than any of us were. And then there was the executive committee, which based on the way the bylaws are written, there's 17 of us that get one vote each
for this.
Right. And so I get one, the officers that serve with me get one, like our vice presidents and secretary. And then Ronnie Floyd is considered the treasurer of the Southern Baptist officers. And so he gets a vote. The executive committee, all 86 members as a whole, as a unit, get a vote.
Get one vote.
That's the way the lawyers explained it to us.
Yeah.
Because there was some question about that. Did they get 86 votes? Yeah, or they get one? Yeah. The lawyers said it seemed to be to them. And so either way, Nate, it was unanimous, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. But they in our counting, they got one vote. And the seminary president. So when you add all that up, I don't think I'm leaving out any major groups. When you add it all up, it's 17.
17 votes, and then it's basically a majority vote.
That majority vote. It only required, what, I guess 9, if my math is correct, but it was unanimous.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good math right there. I know a big question kind of coming out of this, people are asking, and if you haven't checked out the FAQ online from the EC, it's helpful, but a big question is, why can't we do this online? I mean, let's run into the 21st century and do this online. Why can't we do that, the convention online?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It is, yeah.
I would love, you know, if I had been elected czar of the SBC, I would make that change, but I am not, and probably for it's good that I'm not, but there's certain constitutional things that are built into it requiring presence. It probably, that's a really good discussion. What's it look like to have a constitution written in 1845?
Yeah.
It's been pieced together since then, but and some major things have changed about it for which we're all grateful. But, does it need a certain fundamental rehauling,
right,
in ways that could still preserve it? I don't know. That's a good question. That's certainly not for the president to decide on his
own. That probably will come out of this to some degree.
Right.
At least we'll have some of those conversations.
There'll at least be some minor things about how to clear up some of the ambiguity.
Right.
But I actually think that I think that would be a great discussion to have. But unfortunately, the way the Constitution is written right now, you just can't say, everybody stay home and let's do a big 15,000 person Zoom call.
Right. There would need to be lots of preparation for that, obviously. Yeah. That'd be very difficult. So maybe ask some questions again. If you haven't checked out the FAQ, I would just highly recommend it. SBC.net. Also can find that on Baptist Press. But for those who haven't read it yet, what does the cancellation mean moving forward? For instance, thinking through, we affirm the budget every year. We affirm new appointments. We do resolutions and motions and appointments, things like that. What does this mean moving forward for the budget and appointments and things like that?
Well, let me answer on two levels. And the first one is more of a pastoral kind of pastor to pastor. And the second one would be more institutional. Pastor to pastor, it means that we really right now need to focus on helping each other. The Summit Church that I pastor is a church that, it's going to hit us financially, but we're going to be able to make payroll for the foreseeable future. So one of the things that we did is we were able to take half of our, we were to take all of the money that we were going to spend to send messengers there. And we've, there's some bivocational pastors in the area, as well as some of our church planters, that we're going to be able to help them make payroll. I know not every church is able to do that. In fact, maybe some of you that are listening are like, I'm in that category. I would just say that if your church, you know, God, even in a time of scarcity, our God is a God of abundance. And he tells us to open our hands and he'll multiply our seed for sowing. And so if you find yourself in a place where you can share and help bear the burdens, that's what Galatians says is fulfilling the law of Christ, is sharing somebody else's pain with him. So that's the first thing we need to do. I heard recently, by the way, a couple other, Ken Whitten and Steve Gaines have both said that they were indicating, you know, they're thinking the same thing about their churches. Florida Baptist, Tommy Green, they just announced a reduction of a third of their budget so that they wouldn't have to cut budget money going to their Send Florida planters. There's a certain triage that's happening in this, and a bearing of the burdens that I think is going to be really good. So that's on one level. So on the institutional level, Nate, which is what I think you were more focused on, is there. It is set up, again, I'm learning as right. I go
yeah,
here,
yeah.
But the lawyers and the Baptist historians, and they've been producing some really helpful kind of like briefs on what this means, and they've been pretty unanimous, or they have been unanimous, that the SBC is set up so that it can go on if you miss a meeting.
Right.
And basically, think of it more like steady state for most things. The priorities and the decisions that had been made at the previous convention will just last until you're able to meet again, even if it's not until to the next year. That includes, obviously, your officers. It includes your budgets. Your trustees, most of your trustee appointments, they just kind of stay in the same place they are. There are two entities. Again, don't quote me, but I know it's Southern Seminary is one. I'm sure about that one. I think Guidestone is the other one that they actually have to they have a trustee that will rotate off, and they are authorized through some internal things to appoint a temporary trustee.
Okay.
But they're the only two that have that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which means the current trustees will just kind of keep going until it.
So basically what you're saying is if a trustee was supposed to roll off, he stays on,
or she.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. And, so obviously no motions this year, no resolution, no appointments,
right.
That y'all will obviously, y'all had been working on a lot, I'm sure, heading up to this. You'll have to work on those again for next year.
Well, a lot of them will hold. Like our resolutions right. committee, for example, I just sent out a letter to all of them yesterday that says technically since they've been announced and appointed, their appointment lasts until we meet in,
right.
let's say it's 2021.
That's good.
Now would be a good time to tell you about our sponsor for the Baptist 21 podcast, The Pillar Network. If you're a pastor interested in leading your church to partner with a community of like-minded SBC churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to fulfilling the Great Commission by equipping the next generation of pastors to both plant and revitalize churches, then consider joining The Pillar Network. You can find out more information at thepillarnetwork.com. That's thepillarnetwork.com.
So you are now be the president again for the third year. We've already made light of that. First one since Adrian Rogers. So
please never compare me.
Yeah,
to Adrian
Rogers.
I always lose that every time.
I know. I was gonna say, do you think you're better than him? So, how are you thinking about your presidency in light of this? Kind of made me think about this in two levels: short term, getting us through the pandemic, encouragements you have, and then maybe long term, will it be the same emphases you've had? Gospel
yeah.
above all. You've already talked about some of this with some things you released, or. You know, will there be some new things or kind of beat the same drum?
Well, let's be clear. Adrian Rogers was elected three times.
Yeah.
I was not. Okay. I was only elected twice. Well, not counting the one I pulled out of. I guess I've been through three elections, but one of them, you know, I backed out of. Nate, if you'd asked me this a month ago, listen, I was excited about having the most coveted job in America, immediate past president of the
SBC. Exactly. Yeah.
My wife and I had a little calendar and we planned some, you know, just some fun things to do with the family. And
I can't imagine what she's thinking.
Oh
right
my
now.
Goodness. Yeah. You can pray for Veronica Greer. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And her Twitter at Veronica Greer, it will occasionally get rather, how does one say, acerbic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Veronica, I know, I mean, she's very glad to serve, but we both felt like, I had a friend tell me, he said, hey, he goes, now I just watched the latest Star Wars. Truly easy. I know how this goes. It's like, you know, you're like, oh, I'll do it under duress. I'll do it. He says the next year, you know, there's another reason you can't have the election. It's a little bit more flimsy. He said, and then after the third year, you're like, there are no more elections. Right? And we're basically North Korea, you know, the SBC. That is not the intention here.
Exactly.
No one was more surprised by this and even a little, you know, flabbergasted by it. I mean, Veronica and I had a sort of a come to Jesus meeting and just was like, well, we trust that God is sovereign. And if God is sovereign, this is what he's ordained, we're going to trust that he's going to give us the strength to be able to do it because you can't elect. I'm not standing in the way of another president being elected. You just can't do it until the SBC comes together. And there's a lot of factors that go into, you don't just like, you know, hey, let's all meet on Thursday night at, you know, at the Summit Church. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more that goes into, you know, the annual meeting. And so everything's on the table right now, but as it stands right now, we're just going to trust. We're just looking at this like an extended second term. And now, let me just say this, because I know some of you, I just raised a question. Some of your hearers that are smart enough to be like, could there be an interim, you know, could there be an ad hoc one if things clear up in September? I think technically there could be, but there's a lot of, I mean, for seminaries, early fall is a key time, and to be, you know, state conventions, that's the time they're getting ramped up. Most of the feedback we're getting is that unless it's necessary because there is some business that the convention can't go on without, Southern Baptist, the headquarters of Southern Baptist is not in Nashville, and the strategy meeting is not in, you know, wherever we meet for the convention. The headquarters is the local church, and they're like, you know, let's just take this as a sovereign of God. I don't know. Again, those are things we need to wait and see, but it looks like right now we'll just need to wait until 2021. And if that happens, then if this is what God wants, I'll just look at this as an extension of like the longest year.
Right.
And yeah, gospel above all will still be the focus, the theme, the priorities that God gave me from the beginning, which were to better catalyze mission, to engage a younger generation, to see our convention grow in its diversity and its leadership, both in, you know, diversity of color and ethnicity, and also with, you know, just seeing women in the right leadership roles that are appropriate in a complementary structure.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard, even because we don't know how long this crisis is going to, you know, go on. And so even planning the SBC is a lot of work. So just even thinking that far out, it's got to be very difficult. I mean, to think about planning something even 6 months from now would be nearly impossible in the current moment.
And then, you know, I mean, everybody, well, the other thing about the SBC is it's kind of it's a good place for Southern Baptists to get to know what's going on. And so, you know, we sort of have a reason that it's like every segment of the SBC meeting is kind of essential.
Yeah.
And if you drop something out, somebody suffers. And so there's a reason that it's required to be, you know, in constitutionally a couple of days, because we need to. Now, we can amend the Constitution for a special, but it's just like, you know, it's like it sort of is, which part of the plane do you take out and, you know, have it fly right? There's a lot of things that go into it.
Particularly with the COVID-19 crisis, what are some long-term things you think we need to be kind of thinking about moving forward, particularly like giving to the CP, missionaries, church planting? And you've already kind of hit on this a little bit with just what you are planning to do as a church, but what do you think are going to have to be some of the, if this particularly persists, what are some of the long-term conversations we probably need to start thinking through?
By we, do you mean local church pastors?
So, I mean, I'll say local church pastors. Let's say you as a pastor thinking about giving to certain causes, things you're passionate about, obviously a church like Summit, where you've sent a lot of missionaries through the IMB, you're planting a lot of churches, and then larger, like the SBC entities, what are they going to have to start thinking through just as this, if this persists and it does lead us to some kind of depression or something like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of, let's call it a what if in there,
and I don't know if I'm
qualified yet to speak to all that, but I answer first as a pastor because I feel most secure here. You know, our website, summitchurch.com, there's a page on the front there that if you're a local church pastor and you're looking for ideas of ways to engage your community, you could start there just as an example. You'll probably have better ideas than we did. There are several things we're partnering with on the convention level. Sendrelief.org is a fantastic, Kevin and his team have done a great job of just creating some good partnership opportunities. Your associational missional strategist, formerly what you would, you know, call your local association, leader. Those guys, you know, this is sort of like when you're going to find them to be the most valuable. We reached out to ours, his name is Marty Childers, and he was able to connect us with some of these churches that were in need, connect us to other, you know, places that we can benefit from and give to. So I would start there. Paul Chitwood has said publicly that some of our missionaries are in places where they're forced to come home. And it's unplanned. And so some of them don't have places to stay or cars to drive. Some of them are even in situations where they don't have a monthly income. And so a church, you know, if you can be aware of one of those and just say, hey, send them here, you know, we'll take care of them. That'd be a way to do it. Probably the best ministry, Nate, is, you know, this is going to be organic. The first thing that we did as a church is we had our pastors call all of our small group leaders and just say, let's make sure that every elderly person gets a call, you know, at least once a week, and that's probably even too little, a visit you know, as appropriate, respecting right. social distance.
Sure.
And let's just make sure that there are no needy among us, the way that Acts 2 says. And then let's encourage our small group members to reach out to their neighborhoods so that, that in our neighborhoods, people are taken care of. You know, hourly wage workers are being hit hard. We have someone in our neighborhood that's in that category. And so one of the things we're doing is we're actually right now doing childcare for her. That's what my wife is doing so that she can, you know, be able to take some of the appointments, because otherwise her, you know, that's going to be the best kind of ministry.
Right.
Some of the things that I've been trying to say is that the church is always at its best in times like this, because the gospel does two things for us that people in the community don't have. One, it's hope in the midst of uncertainty. The other thing is it shows us what to do when there's tragedy and danger, that we run forward in faith and not backwards in fear, that our impulse, if we know the gospel, is towards self-sacrifice, not self-preservation. And what you find is that God, that's when, I mean, you know, I was reading in Rodney Stark's book, The Rise of Christianity, how one of the primary catalysts for Christianity's growth in the Roman Empire was how the Christians responded to the plague of their generation compared to everybody else. And because they ran toward it, because they were just, they cared when other people were fleeing, that was the reason that the gospel surged.
Yeah. You put out a video on this. I would just highly commend people to go check that out. I think it's been really helpful.
I find myself wanting to channel Winston Churchill and say, this could be our finest hour.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think the sentiment is right. Like, this Absolutely. Really could be one yeah. of the best moments for the gospel.
And already hearing from guys who are saying, it's unbelievable how many people are checking out our video, my sermon, our live stream, just the numbers.
That's
are,
right.
Are, and so this is an unprecedented access to the gospel.
Yeah. They showed me our numbers from this last Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was absurd.
It's because people need hope, and they're checking it out. And so we're going to have a chance to really share the gospel clearly.
Yeah, before they kind of shut down the, you know, like, shouldn't go to other people's houses. The first week that we did it, we had our small group over, and one of my ones, who's your one that came to faith in Christ, actually, my one has it. It's his wife that came to Christ. And she's been coming the last several weeks to church, and she's been trying to get him to come, who's my actual one. He'd never would come. He showed up at my house.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, you picked a weird Sunday to make your first Sunday. Us sitting around the house, staring at a screen, singing along, you know, and he said, man, this is the way I needed it to be. My first exposure needs to be at this level. So there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I hadn't planned on asking you this, but based out of that, let me just ask you a quick question, then I'll kind of get you out of here. So how are you going to think through, if this persists, how are you going to think through, as a local church pastor, how much money do we obviously have to use benevolently to care for our people, shepherd our flock? And then, but we don't want mission to stop. You've already talked about this some. So how do you think about giving on to things like the IMB, NAM, the CP in general, other things you are doing? So how are y'all going to try to balance, I mean, at least in the short term, and then maybe thinking long term, how are y'all going to balance that?
Well, yeah, it's a good question, because this is not a time for cliche points. And, you know, I mean, I've got, proverbially, I've got mouths to feed here at the Summit Church, and there are people that need, you know, they depend on this for their salaries. And we got a community to minister to, but I think I would go back to the same kind of giving counsel that has guided us through pretty much every other. And it's in the Bible, but let me use a way that C.S. Lewis says it. He says, the only safe rule when it comes to giving is to always give a little bit more than you think you can.
Hmm.
So whatever you feel like you should give, you should just add some to that and then do it. So when it comes to giving to things like cooperative program, I mean, our church, hopefully, we have not reduced. We have no intentions of reducing. We will continue to honor the same percentages. But we're always going to try to, in this state, go a little bit farther than we can, because, I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to sound like a prosperity guy here, but it is true that when you open your hands on the seed that God has put into your hands, he multiplies it. God says, 2 Corinthians 9, he will multiply your seed for sowing. That was not given to a group of, you know, rich people sitting around 10,000 square foot homes. It was given to a group of people that were in their own financial crisis. And he says, if you open your hands on this, watch what God does.
That's good. Final thing, just as kind of president and just obviously leader, give some encouragement to the SBC family, just pastors in general, particularly in the crisis right now, things you're thinking through, just some words of encouragement. And then we kind of joked about it, but I'm sure this will be tough on your family. So ways we can pray specifically for the Greer family during this season of, like, you having to lead an extra year.
So questions get progressively harder.
Yeah.
What was the first question again?
Just words of encouragement to the SBC family.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, we've kind of already said this, but just to maybe say it really clearly, pastors, this really is, it's a new opportunity, but it is a profound gospel moment. And what you find is that with new troubles, God gives new graces. And you didn't know a month ago, you didn't have the grace to be able to go into this kind of crisis, but you do today. The man is there today. I love what Jesus says at the end of Matthew 6, where he says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has trouble of its own. And I'm like, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has, that's exactly what I was worried about tomorrow, is that was had trouble. Well, he's saying, yeah, but don't worry about that because the God of sufficiency who is with you today will also be there with you tomorrow. And so when we got up this morning and we got up on that first day when things really got bad with the coronavirus, God was already ahead of it and he already had the grace necessary. There are some new opportunities we have to preach hope. There's some new opportunities we have to demonstrate generosity. The gospel literally means good news, and good news is best in the context of bad news. And so in this bad news, we got a message to proclaim. The gospel teaches us what to do. So go and just be the church and trust God. For me and my family, that second part of your question, yeah, just pray. Pray that if this is what God wants, he'll open up, he'll supply the graces for it, he'll give us clarity about it. If he's got other plans, I mean, this whole thing has humbled me not to make any predictions longer than, you know, 2 or 3 days
exactly.
ahead. But just, you know, show what that is, that he'll crystallize in my heart where he wants me to lead. Pray also, and I hope this is, I got to think carefully how I say this, but I wasn't prepared for the spiritual warfare that was attached to taking this. And I'm kind of a spiritual warfare skeptic. Like, I believe in it, but I don't believe everybody that, you know, it's, but I just, it's been real the last 2 years. And I don't mean all the silly, you know, discernment blogger. I'm not talking about that kind of, because that stuff's just, you know, a lot of it just ends up being, I don't know. Well, I don't want to judge, but you know, it's just a lot that stuff doesn't bother me as much. But I mean, genuine spiritual attack, and just pray that God will, I've got, you know, 4 children, pray that for my wife and my children and me, that God will lift us up and that we don't belong to Satan, and the stronger man, Jesus, is stronger than him, and pray that he'll repulse his attacks.
Well, just know we're thankful for your leadership. You know, obviously we're not expecting you to have to do another year of this, so we'll be certainly praying for you, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, I might be president until it changes to Baptist 22.
Well, yeah, we're...
No.
Yeah,
Lord help us.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, again, thank you, definitely praying, and thanks for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast.